Oh, yes. Yes, that's your answer. That's your answer to everything.
Tattoo it on your forehead. Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences. The bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir. The bombs will always lose. Do you hear me, Lebowski?
Back on overtime for hour number two on this Wednesday, 865-546-8200, 546-8200, 1 hour down, one remaining here on your hump day. We talk a lot about the NFL draft, who's going to go where, potential trade opportunities as well, looking through some mock drafts, all that good stuff as we're about a little over 24 hours away from your 2019 draft getting underway over in the Music City in Nashville as they attempt to turn Broadway into something completely different. Going to be completely fantastic to be down there and see all that, though, on Friday. I cannot wait. Talked a little bit. We just talked about updates in the NBA and NHL playoffs as well, and some crucial elimination games that are coming up tonight in both sports as well. But now it is time, as we usually do it, we throw it over to Cole McCormick. He's going to give you all the goods on the recruiting trail on football, basketball, anywhere else that is of note. It is the 7 o'clock recruiting update brought to you by formerly Knoxville Stone Interiors, now KC Kitchen Center, Cole Talk.
All right. Thank you, Tanner. Tonight we will start with Nick Herbig. He is an outside linebacker prospect out of Honolulu, Hawaii. He tweets, blessed and honored to have received an offer from the University of Tennessee. Hashtag go Vols. Hashtag powered by the T. Mr. Herbig, down in Hawaii, like I said, at St. Louis School. 6'2", 215 linebacker in the 2020 class. 247 Sports currently has him ranked as a four-star prospect. Sixth overall outside linebacker in the class. Number two player in the state of Hawaii. And 100th player nationally. Currently, no crystal ball predictions. Other offers to go along with his new Tennessee offer come from Wisconsin, Washington, Cal, Stanford, and UCLA. Next, a name we've talked about many times before, E.J. Williams, the big receiver out of Alabama. He tweets that he will be dropping his top five list on May the 1st, exactly 1 week from today. Mr. Williams, as you know, out of Phoenix City, Alabama, down at Central High School, a wide receiver in the 2020 class, 6'3", 188 pounds. One of the priorities, in my opinion, for the Tennessee staff this recruiting cycle. Let's see here. 247 Sports Composite Rankings has him as a four-star receiver in the 2020 class, 19th overall wide receiver in the class, number two player in the state of Alabama, and 89th player nationally. A huge favorite to go to Clemson. They believe that he will be a Tiger. But nonetheless, let's see here. Other offers. Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, Florida State, and many, many more for his services. So this time next week, we will see who has made the final cut. Tennessee could be in it. He's been to campus many times, has a good relationship with Harrison Bailey and staff, so we will have to wait and see. Next, one of my favorite recruits in this year's class, one of the biggest names in the class. You know him and you love him, Rakeem the Dream Jarrett. He will be taking an official visit down to LSU this weekend, but it is reported that LSU and Tennessee are the two finalists for his services. So in my humble opinion, if Tennessee can survive the weekend without a commitment from Jarrett to LSU, you have to feel good about landing him. Let's see. Mike Farrell and Adam Gorney of Rivals.com wrote a quick piece talking about what they think, where Jarrett will go. Both of them said the same thing. Tennessee and LSU seem to be the favorites. Clemson and Ohio State could make moves towards the end, but it looks like it is an SEC race. And they both agree that Tennessee could possibly have the slight edge. Could that change after an official visit to LSU? Sure. But he still has a potential official visit to Tennessee, excuse me. So we'll have to wait and see. But, of course, you know him and you love him, as I said. Five-star receiver in the 2020 class, 6 foot, 190-pound guy out of Washington, D.C., 16th player nationally, second-best wide receiver, second best player in the D.C. area. He has offers from literally everybody. So we'll have to keep watching on that end. Next, Tennessee offers a big-time JUCO prospect, Brian George. He tweets, truly blessed to receive my 17th offer from the University of Tennessee, hashtag Vols, hashtag SEC. Mr. George, as I said, a JUCO prospect out of Belgrade, Florida. He is currently at Highland Community College. He's a corner in the 2020 class, 6'2", 190 pounds, 247 sports JUCO rankings, has him as a three-star guy, second overall JUCO prospect in the 2020 class, number one corner and number one player in the state of Florida. And it's interesting to me because if Tennessee is to land Mr. George, Tennessee will have commitments from the number one and number two JUCO prospects in the 2020 class. Of course, the number one overall prospect, Jordan Davis, has been committed to Tennessee since November. So Tennessee trying to get back in the JUCO ranks and always need help back there in the defensive backfield. Next, a few more here for tonight. Carnell Davis has also been given a scholarship to Tennessee. He tweets, extremely blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee. Mr. Davis is a wide receiver in the 2021 class. He's out of Melbourne, Florida at, oh goodness, Eugale? EAU. How would you say that? EAU.
I'm going with that.
Eugale. Okay. 6'2", 180 pounds. No rankings at the moment. No crystal ball predictions at the moment. Other offers to go with his new Tennessee offer come from Auburn, Baylor, Boston College, UConn, and Georgia Tech, to just name a few. Next, Kamari Rogers has also been given a scholarship to Tennessee. He tweets, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee, hashtag GBO. Mr. Rogers is in the 2022 class, corner, 6 foot, 150-pound guy. He's out of Lexington, Mississippi at Holmes County High School. No rankings at the moment. No crystal ball predictions at the moment. Other offers, including his Tennessee offer, come from LSU, Memphis, Mississippi State, Nebraska, and Ole Miss. And then last, but certainly not least for tonight, we talked about him last week, and he is in town. I'm talking about four-star corner/athlete Joel or Joel Williams. He tweeted earlier today, University of Tennessee, I'm here. Tennessee made the top 13 list for his services last week. And just over a week later, he is in Knoxville for another visit. Mr. Williams, as you already know, a four-star guy in the 2020 class, 6'2", 193-pound prospect. He's out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana at Madison Prep Academy. 12th overall athlete in the class, 7th best player in the state of Louisiana, according to 247 Sports Composite Rankings. Current crystal ball predictions, 50% to Texas A&M, 38% to LSU, 12% to undecided. Other offers, he has 44, so he has them from everywhere. Arizona, Arizona State, Arkansas, Auburn, Baylor, Tennessee, and many, many more. And that will conclude this Wednesday edition of the Recruiting Update. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, Cole. Thank you, Cole, per usual here. And also per usual, that recruiting update every night here at 7 o'clock. It's brought to you by the fine folks at KC Kitchen Center, formerly Knoxville Stone Interiors. Folks, they're finally now open at their new location at 5902 Kingston Pike, right at the bottom of Bearden Hill, across from Food City and next to U.S. Bank. Very conveniently located. Same great experienced staff that KSI has had that has been serving the fine people of East Tennessee and beyond for over a decade now, with 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. You're going to find the same great selection of all your countertop options. If you are in the market for updating the look of your kitchen, your bathroom, entertainment center, or even looking at getting an outdoor kitchen started, as well here as the summer is approaching very, very soon, they are your go-to source. Hundreds of options, granite, quartz, marble, and more, and always at the best value. And East Tennessee, call them at 865-971-5800, online at knoxstoneinteriors.com. You get a free in-home estimate either way you choose. And the kitchen center, I'll tell you about once again, going to have a test kitchen area. There's going to be a creative classroom. They have a event center as well. If you'd like to host anything from like a business function, birthday parties, weddings, any type of deal, they got that for you at the brand new kitchen center. Swing by, see Kelly and the crew. Tell them that your friends at Fan Run Radio sent you. They have been friends of ours for over a year now. and you support them, support Fan Run Radio, go over there, get the new location a look, and all, as always, if you need to get the look of your home renovated, they got you covered. It's KC Kitchen Center, formerly Knoxville Stone Interiors, 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and county. We got some government news today. Government news in the state of Tennessee.
Okay.
But also having to do with the issue of online sports gambling. Ooh.
Ooh.
Pretty important issue here. We told you about whenever this was first being proposed in the House. Well, turns out that today, the State House passed.
Let's go.
Passed a bill that would legalize online sports gambling here. Let me get the latest status here. So, of course, we all know about the branches of government. All know about it. It's going to do the House first, then this moves on to the State Senate. But if it passes in the Senate, which it's expected to do so, Governor Bilodeau is expected to sign into law. So just in time for football season, man, probably going to have legal online sports betting. Let's go!
Yeah,
let's go.
Join the rest of the 21st century. Join the rest of the 21st century here. Let me see here. Get the entire details of the story here. So once again, this was today officially. Tennessee lawmakers have voted 58-37 to approve a sports betting bill, sending it to the Senate for consideration, which is, of course, a major step forward in the legislative process. The legislation, it passed by both chambers and signed by Governor Bill Lee, would make Tennessee the first state in the country with mobile-only sports betting.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
But it's a big, big step in the right direction here. All other sports betting states have retail books, with some only, also allowing mobile. Of course, Tennessee doesn't have any casinos in the state, so you'd have to do a separate law passed to allow casinos to get some actual brick-and-mortar sports books.
Yeah.
But this is a big step in the right direction.
Sure.
An earlier version of the bill here, it was eyeing 50 retail locations statewide in addition to the mobile platforms. The legislation is sponsored by Representative Rick Staples of Knoxville. He had to defend his bill against heavy criticism multiple times today. The bill was pre-filed in November ahead of the 2019 session, just a handful of months after the U.S. Supreme Court kicked the issue of sports betting to the states. The legislation calls for mobile sports betting platforms to be regulated by state lottery. The bill does not allow for any retail sports wagering, even in the form of kiosk. Tennessee is eyeing a sports betting market worth nearly $150 million each year in taxable revenues based off roughly $3 billion in handle. Tennessee would tax sports betting at a 22.5% rate.
Wow.
Let's get this done. Let's get this done.
Get some money.
Let's make some money. Some of all these old archaic laws against gambling, and even some states still don't even have a lottery. Did you know the state of Alabama doesn't have a lottery?
Yeah. I actually did know that.
Yeah.
Does not have a lottery. There's some just old, useless, archaic laws. If you just pass new laws, man, when it comes to issues like betting here, just doing this specifically, your state's going to make so much money. You could put that back towards education. You could put that back towards infrastructure, you know. Kind of do things the government's supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
instead of being completely irresponsible, am I missing something here?
No, I mean, that's just one of the things that you have to deal with when you are in this part of the country. When you're down here in the South, the Bible Belt, as many people like to refer to, all these old laws a lot of people are going to stick to just because their mom and dad, their grandparents, everybody they know has always been against it. Some people are still like that. But eventually, I think the South will be on the same kind of trajectory as the rest of the country as the older generations move on. Stuff like this will start to change. It's good to see Tennessee finally getting on board in at least one aspect.
Would either of you go ahead and take advantage of this if it was passed?
Absolutely.
I think I would.
I don't bet.
So. I don't either, but I think I eventually would.
I don't know. As of right now, no. Maybe in the future.
And the other thing too, another thing with this too, the revenue that you make off of this, that state government makes off this. You also use a portion of that to go towards helping organizations to help gambling addicts.
Sure.
Yeah. Because this could easily become an addiction to people. You do have to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's taken so long for a lot of states to get to this point here.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to take some other states a few years. But I think it makes it a little bit easier for lawmakers to get behind if you include that caveat in it, though.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Here's what to expect from Bill Lee on this, though. So originally when Bill Lee was campaigning here, this is a little tidbit here, just back in November, that you found a little bit interesting. In the final debate of the governor's race, Bill Lee said, and I quote, he would work with the legislature to make sure they didn't approve it, it being any sports gambling laws. But, however, just last month in March, Bill Lee appeared more than open to sports betting. A spokesperson said Lee would, quote, work with lawmakers to improve a bill that impacts the state's economic and social health, even if it's not something we plan to support.
I'm sure he saw a spreadsheet of the potential gains.
Once he sees the money here, once he actually gets into the governor's office and he sees, this could be a really positive impact right here.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a little more open to being behind it.
Did he say he didn't support it before he was governor, as he was campaigning? Is that when he said it?
Let's see. Oh, he added, and this was from the final of the governor's debate, so this is just in November. Bill Lee said, I think that organized betting frequently develops into organized crime that we don't need in our state.
Ooh. That's just stuff he's going to say to get elected. I mean, let's be honest.
Now,
now that he's the man, he's showing his
politician saying one thing on the campaign trail.
He knows how to work the people of Tennessee.
And this is for a dude who this is his first political experience.
Auburn Lee, he knows how to do it.
War Eagle William, do something right for once. You invited Auburn to the governor's mansion,
but not Tennessee, who was number one. It's whatever. I didn't vote for him. Take that!
Do something right, William. Please. I'd like for the state to make money. And then I would like for casinos to be built here.
It's only a matter of time.
That's even more money.
It's only a matter of time, especially East Tennessee.
I don't want to have to drive all the way up into the mountains in Cherokee. I don't want to do that. I want one like right off the exit.
Have you been there before?
Yes.
How far is it? How far a drive?
I can give you like right now the
rough
estimate.
I've always been interested, but... You know, never, never caught the time.
See, the Cherokee tribe, the same ones who, of course, own the Harris Cherokee Casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they already had the land they bought off the Kodak exit. Now, will it be developed into whatever is yet to be determined? Of course, Tennessee state government has to approve a law about actually getting casinos in the state before they build a casino. But yeah. I would like one very close.
It's a matter of time before there is a Cherokee Casino right there at 407. It's only a matter of time.
Here's the other thing, too. It's like
definitely put one in Nashville as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be a killer. That would absolutely be a killer. And here's the other thing, too, about those casinos. It's more than just the gambling aspect. Obviously, that's the number one attraction. There's concerts up there all the time that attracts people who usually wouldn't go.
Yeah.
How much good would that do for this local area if you built something like that?
It would do a lot.
Okay, right now, just a rough estimate from the middle of Knoxville to Cherokee, North Carolina. Via US 441, 1 hour, 53-minute drive.
That's not a terrible drive, but it's not horrible. A great drive either.
Yeah. You are going through
it's like right on the border of good and bad.
Here's the thing. You are going through the traffic in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg to
yikes.
All the stoplights and just slower speeds. It's not a straight shot on the interstate. So, yeah,
okay.
Like you see it. Little map right
man,
there.
It's
winding roads up in the mountains. Beautiful drive.
Yeah, it is.
Beautiful drive.
It's only a matter of time. As much tourism as there is in the state, it's only a matter of time before casinos start popping up. The state is going to make a crap ton of money.
Make us money. That. Make us money. It's not that hard. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Catch the first break of hour number two of Overtime. Back with more on the other side. That's a quick minor breaking news just coming across my phone, at least. I got the notification here. Either of y'all, had either of y'all been to Naples Italian restaurant off Kingston Pike?
I never have.
No.
I haven't either, but I mean, we've all drove past the building,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
It's a very, very recognizable building and sign. Yeah, all of a sudden, this news coming out 6 minutes ago, Naples Italian restaurant in Bearden will be closing its doors after 48 years of service in the Knoxville community.
Say why?
Wow.
The announcement came suddenly Wednesday when the restaurant said April 24th will be their last day in business. So just today they said, yeah, we're not open tomorrow.
Wow.
That's a way to get some attention.
R.I.P.
Man. WBR called the restaurant. They confirmed today will indeed be their last day. The Bearden staple was supposed to change hands when longtime owners Bob and Becky Looper announced their plans to retire, but that plan has apparently fallen through. Ooh.
Interesting.
Man, oh man here. Yeah, Chuck Naples and Ray Ward originally opened the restaurant back in 1971. See, I thought I'd been there longer than that. Like, it's an old building.
It is, yeah.
I kind of thought I'd been there since, like, the 40s or 50s.
Guess not.
But 71.
I mean, still a long time.
That's almost 50 years now.
Yeah.
Man,
could you
imagine,
like, being an employee, though?
Yeah, just show up to work. Yeah, today's the last day we're open.
That kind of happened to me at my first job.
Really?
Where?
I worked at a pizza. Okay, so they're up in my old neck of the woods, Campbell County. One of the finest dining establishments you will go to is Charlie's Pizza.
Okay.
It's pretty damn good. I will say it, pretty damn good. So back in 2012, when I was 16, they decided to do some expansion. So okay. I was about 16 going on 17 in the summer of 2012. They expanded down to Knoxville. You know, it was in the Halls area. Yeah, they opened up a second one. It was the owner's son who opened it up, and that was my first job. I was just making pizzas and running the cash register sometimes.
Did you do you know how to, like, toss it in the air?
No, we never did. We never did that.
Man.
We never did that.
I've always wanted to learn how to do that.
No, we didn't. We made them a lot quicker than
that. Okay. I would like to have seen that, though.
It's supposed to be for efficiency. It probably took out some of the flavor, too. I don't know. But gotcha. I ain't going to try to say anything, though. But, yeah, got started, like, early July 2012. And, like, you could just tell, like, in the fall, not as much business, not as much traffic coming in. So, all of a sudden, like, right after Christmas, right before New Year's, I come in, and it's like, yeah, we're shutting down Saturday. And it was like a Thursday.
Yikes.
Wow. That's
rough.
Yikes. That's rough.
So I'm like, oh.
It's rough stuff.
Didn't shock me, but yeah, that happens.
Huh.
That happens. I mean, you as an owner, I guess you got to cut your losses as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Because that comes down on you. And so, yeah, I worked that final Saturday. They were open the whole day, but I only worked up until like, I worked about the lunch shift or something, because I remember me and my buddy left and we went straight to Thompson Bowling Arena. We saw like Hansa Martin Tennessee team take on Xavier.
There you go. Great
so,
Saturday.
So that was that. Yeah, so it happens. That definitely sucks for people who work there, man.
Yeah, hey, what shift you working tomorrow? Oh, I'm not. Neither are you.
And yeah, nobody's working.
Yeah,
it's the last day we're opening.
Yeah, we're done. What?
Man, tough stuff.
We'll talk to the manager.
Yeah. Do you think they told the employees before this? They have to. I mean, they don't have to, but I mean, do you think?
Well,
or do
I
hope you think
so.
Or do you think like this was like
common
a today
courtesy.
Decision?
I don't know. Maybe they might have told them last night.
You would, I mean, at least a little bit of heads up.
One of those employees, if they tell me last time, like, I'm not coming in tomorrow, then
sure.
What's the point?
Yeah.
They don't have to give them a heads up. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're in the right to work state. You can be fired for any damn reason. Mm-hmm. So they certainly don't have to tell you if you're closing.
That's rough.
It's certainly better they do that, but
yeah.
Crazy.
That's rough.
Crazy stuff, man. Getting back to the sports news a little bit today, we go back to the seems to be never-ending little saga that is Will Wade.
Over it.
So,
over him.
Will Wade, of course, isn't testifying. Neither is Sean Miller in the FBI college basketball corruption trial. However, Will Wade reinstated at LSU, made a big hoopla about it. I mean, they did that. Still the perfect time to drop that news right before Game of Thrones Season 8 premiered.
Great
so
PR strategy.
Absolute perfect news dump time. Ross Dillinger of Sports Illustrated, who lives down there around the Baton Rouge area, He has said, as part of Will Wade being reinstated, him and LSU have reworked his contract. Right before reinstating him. So they had a little bit of a deal here. Here's some tidbits about this new contract. First, if the NCAA determines Wade committed a Level 1 or Level 2 violation, LSU is now permitted to terminate Wade's contract with cause. And he is not permitted to claim that he was wrongfully terminated.
Interesting.
Okay.
In addition, if the NCAA serves notice to LSU that allegations have occurred under Wade, or if Wade is federally indicted, the coach can be fired with cause. Will Wade has also agreed to these conditions. So there you go. And also, it doesn't say in the article, but Ross Dillinger did tweet that performance bonuses for Wade from this past season that were like $250,000, he's forfeited it.
Wow.
He's forfeited a quarter of $1 million.
Interesting.
He doesn't really have a case to be able to keep that $250,000, so.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Man, oh man. Talking here in this piece here about Scott Woodward, who is LSU's new athletic director, being hired away from Texas A&M. He was not involved in the reinstatement away because that happened before he got hired, nor was he involved in the new contract. However, it says Scott Woodward, he's trying to leave himself open in case more info comes out on Will Wade, in case the NCAA comes knocking still. Woodward said, quote, "I know less than you do. I need to be briefed and I need to find out what's going on." This is what he said as introductory press conference when he was asked about Will Wade's status as LSU's head coach. Woodward continued by saying, "Coach Wade is LSU's coach and he will have my 100% support." Of course you would say that.
Yeah.
Introductory press conference. But now he leaves himself a little breathing room here. He wouldn't have to have a big messy type of deal in case he gets himself into more hot water. He's really, really good outcome for the school right here. In case he screws up again. Give me firewood calls.
I'm on a tight leash.
Yeah, he definitely does. So I wonder if we'll be seeing Will Wade and LSU get any more top players from the states of New Jersey or Connecticut or somewhere like that.
I'd be shocked if
they have been doing. I don't think they will either. I would like that program to come back down to earth in a big way this upcoming season.
Yeah, I would too.
As in, miss the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be very nice.
You would absolutely hate to see it, wouldn't you?
You really would. You really would.
Yeah.
Hate to see. You know what? You know I don't hate to see? The birthday game.
Oh.
And that's coming up next. I love a nice little segue like that. Birthday's coming up next here. Cole versus Daniel Brackman. Don't want to miss it. We got about less than half an hour in this Wednesday edition of Overtime War on the other side. Stick with us.
It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control if you can take it. All about your debt and if you can pay it.
Time for birthdays, April the 24th here. We got 5. And they're, I'm going to give it a B.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good names. Got some, That's about the best way I can describe it.
Okay.
Everybody's alive.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Thank God.
No dead people here. And we got a good little mix here. We got sports, actors, and musicians. So let's go ahead and get to it here.
Okay.
First up, let's get one of the hard ones out of the way. This one may be difficult, but I had to get an odd number. She is 77 today. She is an American singer and an actress. Let me get. Let me just run through the Wikipedia here. She's won 2 Academy Awards, 10 Grammys, including the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award and the Grammy Legend Award, 5 Emmys as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a special Tony Award. So she's almost done the full. Dadgum. I don't know what they have a special name for it when you win like all those awards.
Hat trick.
Not a hat trick, but it's something. I don't know. But yeah, fair awards and basically anything. She's among a small group of entertainers who have been honored. Oh, it's called EGOT. E-G-O-T, EGOT. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Okay.
Small part of a small group.
Okay.
Let's see here. After beginning of a successful recording career in the 60s, she ventured into film. Let's see here. I don't even know these films here. The Way We Were was a film she was in. I know that film. She was in one of the adaptations of A Star Is Born, the 1976 adaptation.
Barbra Streisand?
It is Barbra Streisand. Oh, okay. Cole got Barbra Streisand. Yep, one of the best-selling recording artists of all time. And she's also known for the Streisand effect. Do you know what the Streisand effect is?
No,
I do not.
It means when the more you try to, like, if it's like a celebrity or somebody notable, and they have like some like type of like controversy or incident, the more they try to push you under the rug and try to get people to not pay attention to it, the more attention it will bring to that celebrity.
Was she trying to push under the rug?
I forgot, but South Park did like a whole episode about her in like the early 2000s. It was one of the earliest episodes of South Park I can remember watching. Hmm. That's why I remember Barbra Streisand very well. Let's see. Oh, the Streisand effect is a phenomenon whereby an attempt to hide, remove, or censor a piece of information has the unintended consequence of publicizing the information more widely, usually facilitated by the internet. Is named after Barbra Streisand, whose 2003 attempt to suppress photographs of her residence in Malibu inadvertently drew further public attention to it.
Huh. Wow.
So there you go.
Interesting.
And learn something new every day.
There's a bunch of examples of it. But yeah, Barbra Streisand gave us a Streisand effect. 1-0 Colt. Next up here, he is 73 today. He is a reality TV star and a businessman. He was, I guess he would be considered. I'll tell you this. He's also a former football player, played for Louisiana Tech.
Phil Robertson.
It's Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty fame.
Yeah, I did see that earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial, Phil Robertson.
Yeah, slightly.
What did he do?
Political statements.
Yeah. I'll tell you during the break.
Yeah. But 2-0 Cole. Cole's already on the verge of a victory here. I think Bratman's got some in him here. Let's do this next one here. He is 47 today. He's a former MLB player. Let me check to see. Let's see. He is a member of Cooperstown as of 2018. He was an 8-time All-Star, a World Series champion, and NL MVP as well. Played for one team his entire
Chipper
career.
Chipper Jones.
It is Chipper Jones, and Cole wins.
Chip.
Played for the Braves from 93 to 2012.
One of the greats.
From Florida. You know, he's a Gator fan.
He is a Gator fan.
That sucks. I love Chipper Jones, though. He's like my first favorite baseball player. My dog's named after him.
Really?
Well, we didn't. I will tell you this. Like, we didn't name him like my stepdad's mom did because she like originally had him, but she can't keep him anymore.
Gotcha.
But yeah. Why does he have to be a Gator?
I don't know.
One of the goats, though. Still love Chipper Jones. It's next up here. Let's get these next two out of the way. He is 55 today. He is a comedian and an actor. American, by the way. Let's see here. He hosted BET's Comic View during the 1993-94 season, Def Comedy Jam in 1995. He is also best known for co-starring with Steve Harvey on the WB sitcom The Steve Harvey Show. He has also been in Barbershop. He hosted the 12th season of the daytime version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He starred in the TV Land original series The Soul Man. Do you need more?
Yes.
Yes, please.
You'll absolutely know who it is. Okay. Has voice roles in Ice Age, Madagascar. Let's see here. He's been all the Madagascar movies here.
Chris Rock?
No.
He was a zebra, right?
He also is a starring role in the CBS show The Neighborhood, which just premiered last year.
Is it Cedric the Entertainer?
It is Cedric the Entertainer. Yep.
All said.
55.
Chris Rock does do the voice for the zebra, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had another TV show, didn't he? Trying to think of what it was called. For some reason, I felt he had another, like, sitcom.
Well, Steve Harvey Show.
Yeah, but I thought there was another one where he was the main character. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I don't know.
No, he was also Bobby Proud in The Proud Family.
Yeah.
He voiced him.
He was in Haunted House.
Haunted House.
The Reverend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what. Yeah, Cedric Entertainer's been everything. Basically.
He really has. Yeah.
Last birthday for today here. This is a big one, kind of. I consider it a big one. She's 37 today. American pop singer. She's had a career that's started back in 2002. Man, let me run through some of these hits here. Several hits, several number ones. Here we go. A Moment Like This, Miss Independent, Breakaway, Because of You. Behind These Hazel Eyes.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
It is Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, it is Kelly Clarkson, yeah.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson!
37?
37.
Huh, good
for
her. She was in the first ever winner of American Idol.
Yes, she was, wasn't she?
She won it when she was 2021. Yep. She won the inaugural season, immediately signed to a $1 million recording deal with RCA Records. Made her chart debut in September 2002 with a double A-side single, Before Your Love, in A Moment Like This, which immediately topped the charts.
Yeah.
And then she never looked back.
Yeah.
Favorite Kelly Clarkson song. I think everybody likes the Kelly Clarkson song.
I like her and Jason Aldean's song. What's the name of it? I can't remember the name of it. But
Don't You Want to Stay?
Yes. That one. I like that one.
Don't You Want to Stay? Here's a good one. Yeah,
that Fun fact about her, y'all might know this. Did you know that she is married to her drummer?
Yes.
Do you know who her drummer's mother is?
Who?
Reba.
Really?
She is Reba's daughter-in-law.
That's why they did that song together.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
about 12 years ago. Yeah.
Reba's daughter-in-law.
Okay.
How cool is that?
Okay, that's actually pretty cool.
I know.
I had no idea.
That'd be the coolest mother-in-law ever.
It really
would. I'd love to have Reba to be my mother-in-law.
I would too. I would too.
Man, Kelly Clarkson, man. A lot of bangers here.
Yeah.
Oh, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger?
Of course. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
I didn't know she sung that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Man, the 2000s hit she's had. What's some other ones? Man, Since You've Been Gone.
That's a good one too. That's a good one too.
Miss Independent is so good.
Yeah.
Breakaway, that's like a graduation song for like a girl, I think.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
It wasn't it one of those like PSAs. Those old like PSAs.
I don't know the song, I'm not gonna lie.
It's like, I'll spread my wings and
yeah, you do.
I know that song.
I don't know if it was a PSA. It probably was. That sounds like a PSA.
No, it wasn't a PSA. You know those like emotional ones they'd have? It's like blank, pass it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of them.
She's got some hits.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, another one, My Life Would Suck Without You.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
It was the number one hit, 2009.
Maybe I have. I don't know.
You probably have.
I'll have to listen to it.
Everybody likes the Kelly Clarkson song. That's my point.
That's true, yeah.
That's the main point of the day. That's the main lesson. Take away with you, everybody has a Kelly Clarkson song that they do enjoy here. We got one more segment left in this Wednesday edition of the show. 865-546-8200. Last chance to get on with us tonight here before we wrap it all up. And before I wrap it up for the week, too, before I head out to Nashville.
Yeah!
Sucker! Yeah. See ya. I'll wave bye-bye like Damian Lillard. Wave bye-bye to the Thunder. I'll just do that. Oh, about to wrap up overtime after this.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been.
Coming back with Old Town Road here. Man, wait, I saw you shake your head. Do you hate Old Town Road too?
Starting to get very Mo Bamba-ish.
Oh no! Oh no!
Do we have another intro coming?
It's very over. It's not.
Get on your rant.
It's not there yet.
Get on your rant. Let's hear it.
I still bop to it occasionally.
Still.
Okay.
It's all right.
It's not reached my Bamba stash yet, has it? Well, that's good at least. Because I don't want you to be tortured by Old Town Road anywhere you go. When's the last time you heard Mo Bamba out in public? Because I haven't gotten a snap from you in a minute.
I heard it actually last week in downtown Nashville, but my phone was dead.
Ah, missed opportunity. Yeah.
Man.
It's on me for not charging my phone.
I will tell you, if I hear it this weekend, you will be getting a snap. I sent you one the last time I was in Nashville. Yep. I'm pretty sure I was out of it, and I heard that, and it basically snapped me back into it. And I was like, no, 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 it's following me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a curse.
Put up yesterday's Knoxville Stone Interiors, now Casey Kitchen Center, poll question after the show here. I want to talk about it a little bit here. This is going to be a huge weekend. Going to be absolutely fantastically huge weekend when it comes to sports, when it comes to pop culture. There's going to be no shortage of something that you can find this weekend that you're going to enjoy. I put out the question, and this is a pretty good poll. What are you looking forward to most? This weekend? And there's still about a little over an hour to go at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. Make your voice heard here if you haven't. We already have over 1,000 votes here, so a really good sample size. So, what are you looking forward to the most this weekend? The options were NFL Draft. You got Avengers Endgame, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to a midnight premiere tonight. The Battle of Winterfell, Sunday night for Game of Thrones, or none of the above. Would you like to hear the results?
Yes.
Leading the way with 34%, the Battle of Winterfell.
Really?
I'm not Thrones. Shocked. I'm not shocked by that.
Your second I'm not there place. Yet. Second place up. Was none of the above.
Oh, wow.
We had a lot of people saying that. I had a lot of replies that Daryl Green III tweeted in and said Talladega. It is Talladega weekend in NASCAR.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's a few people looking forward to Talladega. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Talladega, big race on the NASCAR calendar. You always watch out for the big one. Got the big wreck that always happens.
Yeah.
Right behind it with 22%, though, Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
Last place, 21%, the NFL Draft.
Really?
Not a lot of people, according to at least this poll, compared to other things this weekend, not looking forward to the NFL draft as much. It being in Nashville, too. And I know we got mid-state people to vote on this poll.
I wonder why that is. I really do.
A lot of it has to do with like no vols, if any. Maybe one vol gets drafted.
I mean, yeah, but at the end of the day, I look forward to at least the first day of the draft every year. I really do.
Oh, it's always great, and there's always great drama. I mean, I'm going to look forward to it.
I mean, if there's one pick that goes different than what people think it is, it throws everybody off.
Maybe when people read this poll question, they were thinking like the Friday and Saturday of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I'm considering this weekend starting like at tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you got everything.
That's when the draft starts, yeah.
Because that's when Avengers comes out, too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
I'm excited for Endgame. I can't wait.
Dude, I'm doing all three this weekend. I will be at the draft. Saturday, me and my girlfriend already have tickets to see Endgame.
Not to brag. Not jealous.
Humble brag.
Seats suck, though. We're like second row. So like, my neck is going to be broke by the time.
I hate second row.
It's a 3-hour movie.
You have no chance
to take a pee break.
No.
Oh, no, you can't.
The further back in the theater for me, the better.
Absolutely.
I know, but we had at the that was only like the only like best time we could do it, man. Like with what we had planned.
Man,
it's got to set aside a whole 3 hours. This isn't like an hour and a half type of film.
Yeah,
no. This is like you're setting aside a big block of your day.
It's the end game.
Yeah. Have you seen the review so far? People are blown away. They're saying it's everything you think it's going to be and more.
Is this going to be the last superhero movie?
No. Oh, no.
Oh.
It's too big of a cash cow. This is going to be the last one in the whole like Avengers arc.
Well, that's what I mean. The last Avengers one.
Because like Chris Evans isn't coming back as Captain America.
Okay.
Hemsworth may not come back as Thor, but they are making more Spider-Man movies. They're making the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Are they ever going to stop making Spider-Man movies?
No.
Never.
No. I just wish they would like stick with one for a while.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. I hated what they did in the second movie. I thought he was a good Spider-Man.
I didn't watch that.
I didn't either. Tobey Maguire is always going to be my
Spider-Man. But Tobey will always be the Spider-Man.
Always.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
I'm not a big Spider-Man guy.
I am Tobey Maguire. The other one's not so much.
Spider-Man's always been my favorite superhero, but I'm not like diehard.
Really?
I didn't even see Homecoming.
Batman's always been my favorite.
Yeah, definitely a Batman guy.
Especially after all the Dark Knights stuff, you know, that
solidified it.
Spider-Man was just my favorite because he was like the first superhero I got to like play video games about, got to watch the movies.
Makes sense.
It was just very formative years for me. I don't know. I thought there was something like, you got Bruce Wayne just being, billionaire. How's that relatable?
Not.
Like Peter Parker's a dadgum nerd, man.
Yeah.
Of course, the comic book readers were going to relate to that.
Sure.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's found somewhat relatable besides the fact he has, you know, radioactive web through his body. Other than that, kind of relatable. Superhuman strength and all that, but...
Yeah.
Other than that, though.
Okay.
But yeah, this weekend's going to be intense, but I'm most looking forward to Winterfell, though. DB, you can't watch Winterfell yet. Nope. You're not caught up. You're getting there, though. Where are you in season 5 right now?
8.
Did you skip it like I told you?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. 8 through 10 is the only ones you really need to watch. I think you can burn through season 5 tonight when you get home, unless you have something you have to do.
It's definitely in my future.
Man. Saturday, I'm going to be watching Endgame. Who knows who's going to die there? Or who comes back to life. I don't know what they're going to do. And then the very next day, several people are going to die in Game of Thrones. So many people. I'm not saying who, but people are going to die. There's character arcs that are already completed. So these characters have nothing more to do than to just, you know, get killed by a White Walker. It's going to be intense. It's going to be the biggest battle scene to ever be put on film.
TV or movie history, yeah.
I can't wait.
How long is the episode?
82 minutes.
Wow.
82 glorious minutes. This is going to be a weekend for the ages. It's going to be a weekend for the ages. I can't wait. I'm glad I get to experience all three of the main things right there, though. I'm so ready for it. That does it for me for the week here, suckers. Hope you enjoy carrying the show.
Oh, we will.
We will.
I've raised you all to be really good caretakers of this program.
When the cat's away, the mice will play.
I have faith. For Daniel Bratman, Cole McCormick, I'm Tanner Carson. I'm done for the week. More overtime coming up tomorrow and Friday, though. Join the guys tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I'm out of here.